Good morning, all. The first case for argument this morning is Richard versus Kiernan. Mr. Matthews.
May it please the court, I'm David Matthews on behalf of the appellant, Eugene Richards, Jr. He was a former federal employee who filed an action under the Bivens Doctrine seeking to redress a retaliatory constructive discharge. Prior to filing that action, he filed an internal review with the Merit Systems Protection Board, and they, the administrative law judge, ruled that he could not proceed as a whistleblower because his was not the first disclosure made. Rather, his supervisor made the initial disclosure. He, in the course of an internal investigation by the Office of Inspector General, divulged certain information that was later used against him and forced him ultimately to resign rather than be transferred to New York City.
Mr. Matthews, why didn't you appeal the decision of the Merit Systems Board to the Federal Circuit?
The Federal Circuit has indicated, in line with the Merit Systems Protection Board, that the second disclosure has no protection.
Then isn't it pretty clear that a federal employee's only remedy for adverse employment actions is before the Merits Board? I mean, how do you get around the clear holdings of this circuit that say that's where the remedy lies, that lies in the Civil Service Reform Act?
But if the agency charged with enforcing the statute does not recognize a violation, then there is no remedy available to an employee in Mr. Richard's circumstances.
Right.
That's what we recognize, that there is a comprehensive scheme. But as I point out in the brief, Congress has criticized the Merit Systems Protection Board for this very reason. They have indicated, Congress has, that when they passed the statute, they meant to include any disclosure, not the initial one only. So we have a, presently there is an act, a statute being formulated in committee that would hopefully address this issue, but in the interim, there's no relief available under the administrative scheme the way it is interpreted.
And you want us to carve out an exception to the exclusive, you know, remedy under the Civil Service Act. But did you present that theory to the district court? That's my first question. And my second question is, you know, is there any case law whatsoever that supports that theory? Because we didn't find any, and I didn't really think that what you cited in your brief supported carving out such an exception.
No, I can't find any case law to support that, other than the statutory committee reports indicating that it should be covered. But and I did not make the argument to the district court. The argument there was whether we stated a claim, and the court indicated we did not for the statutory reasons that we should have gone to the federal circuit. But, again, that would have been a pointless exercise given the holdings of that court and the MSPB. This would be a limited exception to the doctrine that all cases for federal employees should go to the MSPB, and it also would be a temporary one given the Congress's indication that they are going to amend the law. And
was forgive me, but was it your view that the Federal Circuit would never have entertained the thought of perhaps changing the law?
Well, no, I can't say that.
So you could have, Mr. Matthews, presented the argument you're presenting to us to the Federal Circuit?
Yes, that's true, Your Honor. But I believe it would have been futile to do that in the hopes that they would change their mind. Congress has indicated its displeasure, and it hasn't caused them to change their mind so far.
Yeah, and that, and then you're asking us to carve an exception based on the fact that Congress has something pending and saying it's temporary. That could go on forever, given how Congress operates. You know, so I don't even think it's realistic for you to say this would be a temporary carve out that we would make. It would have tremendous implications, you know, if we were to carve out such an exception.
Yeah, I can't predict the length of time it would take, but I cite it for the proposition that Congress, when they passed the law, intended Mr. Richards to be covered by it, and he is not.
Yeah, Mr. Matthews, do we know whether or not this argument, which we have before us today, has been in the past presented to the Federal Circuit subsequent to the congressional action you speak of, or the pending congressional action?
I haven't found a decision there
which does. We don't know that the Federal Circuit, that is, has been asked to take note of what you're asking us to take note of, in other words, some pending congressional action.
Correct. I would assume, though, that they'd be aware of it generally.
But there's no case where they've either indicated some consideration of it that you found?
None that I'm aware of, no.
Oh. Thank you.
I'd like to reserve the balance of my time unless there's more questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Matthews. Mr. Lindland?
May it please the court, the counsel. It's obvious he should have filed this in the Federal Circuit. And what he's asking you to do is do something that he says that the Federal Circuit probably won't do. Now, that's where the case is supposed to be heard. As this court has also pointed out, he's waived this argument anyway as he failed to raise it below. The bottom line is there's no legal basis for doing what they want you to do, and that is basically giving the federal court jurisdiction over claims like these, unless you have any questions.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, I suppose, to talk about something there. For me, there is something a bit disturbing about, you know, the OSC's and the board's determination that he can't get whistleblower protections because he wasn't, you know, the initial discloser. I mean, suppose Kiernan had fired every employee who backed up Ms. Rusin's story that she had used a government car for personal business, and let's say, you know, for the sake of the hypothetical, that she told each one that they were being fired, you know, for squealing. Does it make sense to give only Rusin whistleblower protection?
Well, it may not, but the question is, who's supposed to hear that argument? And the answer to that question is the Federal Circuit. That's really the issue here, is not so much the merits of whether or not they made the right decision below. There's a process for this, and it's supposed to go to the Federal Circuit to make that decision.
Yeah, you know, it's just the policy behind the whistleblower statute is, to root out wrongdoing. And it looks as if investigations of wrongdoing are hindered if only the first person who reports is protected. I mean, it made me stop and think about how an investigator could ever get corroboration of multiple viewpoints if only the first reporter is protected. But you're right. You're right on the issue that unfortunately faces us, it seems to me.
Unless the court has any questions, we ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Lindland. Mr. Matthews?
I have nothing further.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Our thanks to all.